This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz Dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
And today we're talking about extruded corn snacks.
Wow. This is the hottest topic we've ever done. I don't think I've ever heard a sexier word than extruded.
Oh, like a hot, like a sexy topic, not hot, like hot topics.
No, like sexy topic.
Not like hot topic, like we're going to go get like a belt with a bunch of studs on it.
And, I was thinking of like the La Tigra
misfit
song.
Misfit shirt. So I'm wearing my studded belt. Molly's wearing some Doc Martens, which I asked her to take off before coming into my house, but nope.
No.
And this episode was suggested by host Matthew.
Thank you, host Matthew. Okay, what we're talking about here, to be clear, is we're talking about those like chip alternative snacks that are made from fried or baked, but like not puffed corn batter. Can you say more about this?
Yeah. So this episode is a Trojan horse because really, like, I've gotten really into turtle chips lately, and I just wanted to have an excuse to eat a ton of turtle chips on the show. Oh, and by the way, like content warning for this show. This is going to be one of the crunchiest episodes ever.
Okay.
But we'll try and confine it to a tasting segment near the end.
So if you're triggered by crunching sounds,
yes,
consider this an episode you should skip.
Right. So like a puffed corn snack would be like a Cheeto, and we've done that.
Okay. Yes.
These are like bugles and things like bugles that are made of like a rolled out corn batter that's fried.
Funyuns?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean,
they are kind of puffy, but like when I was like, did I even know that Funyuns were made from corn before you put it on here? No, I had to look it up.
I didn't realize that either, but I did look it up to see if they were extruded.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. So here's the other thing, the other embarrassing admission. I'm not actually sure if the things we're talking about are extruded.
Perfect.
So,
Okay.
Extruded is when like a batter is forced out through like a slit or like a die.
I think that probably a lot of us are familiar with this idea in terms of pasta shapes.
Right. So right? Like so spaghetti pasta is an extruded pasta shape.
Penne.
Is, right. But these guys like are made from, and I'm going to use this word a lot on this episode, basically a long strand of corn pappardelle, so like a wide pasta noodle.
And they're extruded into a fryer?
Well, the thing I'm not sure about is like I watched a bunch of videos. I watched some weird ass videos. That I don't know whether that pappardelle is created by rolling or extrusion.
Wait a minute. I want to be clear here because we've been talking about extruded pastas and now you're talking about corn snacks, but you're using the word pappardelle, which refers to pasta. So hold on. When you say
my mission in life is clarity.
So when you say corn pappardelle, you mean like the dough that is used to make these extruded corn snacks?
Well, I mean the dough, and then the dough is either rolled or extruded out into like a flat, like tapeworm kind of shape. And also, if you eat enough of them, you might get a tapeworm.
How do you get a tapeworm? Is it you ingest it?
Like, oh, you definitely ingest
through your food?
It. Yeah. Okay. Like maybe a larva or like a spore.
Have you ever had one?
No. Have you?
No.
Like, when I was a kid, my dad had like a joke, a tapeworm joke that he loved to tell.
But what about the like worms that like come out through your skin? Those aren't tapeworms, are they? Or do you poop out tapeworms?
I mean, if you're lucky.
No, but there are other kinds of worms that you can get that come out through your skin.
I can't believe we gave a content warning for crunching sounds, and then immediately you start talking about worms coming out of your skin.
I'm so sorry. Okay. Anything like, that like crosses the skin barrier is like we need a content.
How do you get those things? I don't know. Never go like by never, going outside, which I'm now never going to do.
Oh, here I was hoping Matthew would go camping with me again this summer.
No, apparently there's like parasites galore out there.
Well, we all have them in us anyway, but not those kinds of parasites.
So I was at the checkout at the QFC yesterday buying some Bugles for this episode, and I got like an important message on your receipt, like, don't forget to read this important message. And so I look at the receipt and it said that I'd bought gold medal flour and it had been recalled for possible salmonella. And it said this may cause a reaction in people sensitive or allergic to salmonella. And I'm like, that is not how that works.
What? Do you think that was just like a little template that they slotted the word salmonella into? It's like, that's not the problem.
But like, what would they do? Like sometimes like, you know, product gets like broken glass in it. Would they say that like people who are sensitive to broken glass shouldn't ingest this product?
Yeah, if you're allergic to broken glass, please return your gold medal flour.
Okay, so great. So everyone's turned off this episode by now, except for the people who are so into crunching sounds that they have to hang on till they get to that part.
Welcome, friends.
All right. So yes, Funyuns count. And it says here on my notes that you got Funyuns in the middle school vending machine. Is this correct, Molly?
So I went to a private school growing up in Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah. No. At public school, we didn't get Funyuns.
We don't have vending machines. No, but what was weird about this place is, so it was Montessori based. So there were like a lot of kind of
so you got,
freedoms that we had.
Funyuns made of wood.
Well, there were a lot of like freedoms that we had. That was really good.
Thanks. Yeah. Is that Waldorf school that everything's made of wood?
No, there's a lot of wood stuff like in early learning in Montessori. Mm-hmm. The pink tower, the binomial cube, the trinomial cube.
Did you have a morning wood class?
Matthew, God, you just... Okay. I did make a cutting board in first grade.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And is it still in use?
Yes. My mom still has it.
Awesome.
Yeah. Okay. But what I'm trying to say here is that I remember like really being excited in middle school about these kinds of like weird freedoms that we had. Like we could eat in class.
Okay.
And we also didn't have to sit in our chairs if we didn't want to. So nice. We could like sit on the floor or, you know, like being a middle schooler, there was a period of time when I went through a period of like sitting on the floor under the table just because I could.
Yes.
Like these are the kinds of freedoms we need to give children.
Take your socks off in class.
Yeah. Like just the ability to do things that don't actually cause any consequences, but make kids feel like they have agency.
Absolutely. So yeah, couldn't agree more.
Yeah. I remember that more days than not, I would go to the vending machine that was over by the locker rooms. There was a single like Coke machine and a single like snack vending machine. The line would be so long.
Oh, sure.
And of course, there were always certain things that were like the hot commodity. So I would have never chosen Funyuns, except that Funyuns were the cool thing to get.
The Funyuns were a cool thing when I was in school at one point, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So of course, when it was my turn up at the vending machine, I got Funyuns. And then I would step and, one step to the left and get a Barks root beer out of the Coke machine.
Oh, that sounds great.
And then I would sit under the table in Mrs. Oldham's English class and eat my Funyuns and drink my root beer.
Could anyone hear what Mrs. Oldham's was saying over all of the Funyun crunching in the class?
I mean, not to mention like the foil packaging. Anyway.
The root beer burps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you allowed to eat stuff like this in class?
No.
In middle school?
No.
Okay.
Even though like I also went to like a hippie-ish middle school.
Okay. Well, what can you do?
My memory lane is I have like occasionally snacked on Bugles and I think of them as like a thing you get at a gas station. And I don't know if I've ever had Bugles. I don't think I've ever bought them at the store before, like not at a gas station.
I don't think I've ever had them.
Okay. I don't think they're very good, but we're going to find out.
Okay. And you noted here that you have sometimes stuck them on the ends of your fingertips like Amelie, the movie character, does with raspberries.
Yes. Okay. I want to talk about this because Bugles, I want to talk about a couple different things on the Bugles bag. First of all, it says they are America's number one finger hat. And when I mentioned this to wife for the show, Lori, she said, what about olives?
Oh, God. She's onto something.
Absolutely.
There. I think Bugles is totally pulling her leg.
No question. We should like get them to like testify before Congress.
I think we should put them on blast.
We should put,
because that's what we do.
Yeah.
Here. We don't cancel people. We don't, you know, we don't we don't call them before a grand jury. We put them on blast.
And sometimes we dunk on them. We should put them on our fingers and blast.
Oh, great. Blast off. No, they do look like little rockets.
I didn't mean
rockets.
To say finger blast.
God.
Okay, so on the back it says, who should eat Bugles? Anyone. And I want to call your attention to the fact that I fit into a couple of the categories of, let's do a quiz.
They list categories?
They list categories.
Okay.
I want you to see if you can guess which of these I fall into. Hockey moms and referees. Father and son curling teams. Book clubbers.
Yes, that's you.
Yeah, I've been in a book. And actually, I just signed up to attend a mystery book club, which I'm semi-excited about. Landlubbers.
I think that's you.
Yep.
Okay.
even party sound dubbers.
That's definitely you.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Band leaders.
Yeah, that's you. Hey, everybody. Did you know Matthew has an EP out with his band to the airport?
Wait, save it for the next one.
Oh, sorry.
Lead singers.
Oh, that's Matthew.
That's me. Lion tamers.
That's me.
Yes. All night gamers. If feeding or trying to get a baby back to sleep is a game.
Oh, I'm really good at it right now.
9 out of 10 doctors.
9 out of 10 doctors. That's on the Bugles bag.
Yes. They don't recommend Bugles. They should eat Bugles.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't even say they do, but they should.
Okay. Should they take their gloves off before they put on their finger hats? Or do you put your gloves over your finger hats?
They should. No, when they're like scrubbing in for surgery, they should put on their gloves and then put a Bugle on each finger and then attempt to perform surgery.
extreme surgery.
Okay. I want to go ahead and eat a couple of Bugles before we start talking about them, because otherwise I'm going to
I didn't realize that there was like a Bugles original flavor. This looks like cereal. This looks like breakfast.
It does
cereal.
Look like cereal.
I definitely can't fit this over my hand.
Finger. The opening is too small.
Yeah, how skinny are your fingers, man? Are they flat? Do you have tapeworm fingers? Oh.
Okay, these are kind of better than I remembered.
This kind of tastes like a funny shaped Frito, but a little lighter.
Yeah. No, it does. It tastes like a funny shaped Frito.
Oh, I love this.
Okay. This is like... Okay, so here's what happened to me lately. This is why I was putting Bugles on blast. Partly because they lied about being America's number one finger hat, and I can't stand lies. But also, I was at a gas station recently. I was going to get some Chex Muddy Buddies, and then I saw they had chocolate caramel Bugles, and I was like, oh, this has got to be good, and they sucked.
No, I would never think that was good.
But original flavor Bugles, pretty good.
Ew, chocolate caramel Bugles? You thought that would be good? Oh, man. I can't believe we're friends and you make these kinds of bad decisions.
I was at the gas station. Like, it's like the land of bad decisions.
Did you know that I once had somebody tell me that they couldn't be friends with me because I had a one-night stand and didn't adequately protect myself? And they told me after the fact that they couldn't be friends with someone who took risks like that.
Wow.
I feel like that is really harsh.
That is very judgmental.
Like I was just a dumb 23-year-old. I was stupid.
Yeah, listeners, I've done stupid stuff. Can we still be friends?
Yeah,
if you can't be friends with someone who's done stupid stuff, you're not going to have any friends. Like, I was going to say you'll have to just get a dog, but dogs do nothing but stupid stuff.
Oh my God, my dog cannot stop doing stupid stuff.
Right. So, I don't know, like, what animal doesn't do stupid stuff? Tapeworm, I guess.
Probably cats. They'd be really insulted if you told them they were doing stupid stuff.
Well, cats always, like, have a look like they're being smart, but they're also very stupid. So,
okay.
All right. So, let's get into the history of Bugles. Bugles were developed by a food scientist named Vern Weiss of Plymouth, Minnesota. You ever been to Plymouth, Minnesota?
I've not.
Me neither. They were introduced to the market by General Mills. So now this is from Wikipedia. Bugles were test marketed in 1965 and introduced nationally in early 1966 as one of several new General Mills snacks, including flower-shaped daisies, wheel-shaped pizza spins, tube-shaped whistles, cheddar cheese-flavored buttons, and bow-shaped popcorn-flavored bows, all of which were discontinued in the 1970s.
Oh, this is disappointing.
Since then, I feel like Bugles have had kind of a hard time of it. So back to Wikipedia. Bugles were discontinued in Canada in early 2010 due to a decrease in demand, but brought back in November 2011 due to renewed consumer demand.
Do you think that people like stood outside of grocery stores and like had customers like sign petitions?
Like a Bugle convoy?
Do you want to bring Bugles back? Like sign this petition?
Yeah, BBB, bring Bugles back. Yes.
Make Canada filled with Bugles again.
And I have an update on the situation. On November 14th, 2022, the official Bugles Twitter account confirmed that their products are no longer available in Canada.
Wow.
So, yeah, I want to know, like, so I think probably, like, factually you are correct that, like, some Bugles fans got mad and petitioned to have them come back. But the way it's written makes it sound like demand for Bugles dropped so much that they discontinued them. And then for some reason, demand came roaring back. What do you think happened?
I mean, maybe there was a maybe like a celebrity or beloved public figure. Let's say Justin Bieber. Oh. Maybe Justin Bieber was spotted with a bag of Bugles.
Yeah, that he purchased before they were discontinued, or maybe got from America when he was
one of his
world tours.
Or maybe Corey Hart.
Yes, Canada's two biggest celebrities.
Yeah, Corey Hart was seen eating Bugles while wearing his sunglasses at night. Mm-hmm.
Maybe Jan Arden. maybe Tom Cochran.
Ruth Rendell.
Yes.
Did I pronounce that right?
I think so. Maybe Margaret Atwood.
Oh, like, you know what?
Was seen snarfing Bugles.
She had them on her fingers like hats.
Yeah. But I think Margaret Atwood, I think just like a fun person.
Oh, my friend Kate Schatz, she interviewed Margaret Atwood for some sort of event at like University of Santa Cruz, like Department of the Humanities or something. And it was on Zoom during the pandemic. And apparently Margaret Atwood spent like the whole first few minutes like absolutely fawning over Kate's tattoos.
Oh, that's so nice.
Isn't that great? I love that. I love it when
I didn't mean to put Margaret Atwood on blast.
No, you didn't put her on blast. I mean, I bet she loves Bugles.
Yeah, I bet she does.
If you know Margaret Atwood, everybody, let us know. Does she love Bugles? Or if you are Margaret Atwood and you're listening to this, we're big fans.
Yeah, no, I think she's like a listener from back like episode one. I've no evidence that this isn't true.
Okay.
In Japan, Bugles are called tongari kon, which means pointy corn. In Sweden and Norway, they are known as sombreros, which doesn't make any sense.
Nope.
In Israel, they're known as apropos, which I
love. That.
In Italy, they're called virtual. Why? Don't know. But the bag is awesome.
Oh, my gosh. We've got a link to this.
We'll for sure link to this. It is every bit as stylish as you imagine.
Hold on. I can't figure out what the shape is that is depicted on this bag, though.
That is a good point. I mean, it's the same snack.
Okay, but it kind of looks like a finger, like a pointer finger and a thumb sort of reaching out to grab
like
something.
Like the pincer grip. It looks like a baby learning the pincer grip.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's the snack that grips you.
Virtually.
Virtually grips you. All right, would you like to know how Bugles are made?
Please.
Okay, so I watched the blurriest video on YouTube, which we'll link to in the show notes. There, I stumbled onto like a genre of YouTube video that I didn't know about, which is like demonstrations of industrial like factory equipment.
Oh, and so this was not specific, like...
This wasn't like a, you know, Mark Summers, like, you know...
How are Bugles made?
How are Bugles made? Like, I'm a fun guy and I'm going to take you into this fun Bugle factory and everyone's going to stick them on our fingers.
Was that the Double Dare guy?
It was the Double Dare guy, but then he did a series for Food Network, I think, or maybe Nickelodeon also about like how shit is made.
Oh, I've heard of that podcast.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And
sorry, Abby.
What?
Well, I know Abby loves that podcast. How did this get made?
Oh, I love that podcast too.
Yeah.
I called it a podcast. I don't know why I pronounced it that way. Okay, but this is like, okay, so maybe I want to open a factory and maybe I want to make bugles in it. What I want to find out, like, who should I order my bugle manufacturing equipment from? Maybe the people who made this video. So strips of corn paste or like which it's like fresh pasta, but made from like corn flour and salt and sugar and probably some kind of preservative.
Okay.
Get either rolled or extruded out. This part wasn't in the video. Into like really long, like pappardelle shaped noodles, and they are fed into a folding and cutting machine that turns them into cones.
Ah, okay. And are they wrapped around like a tiny little conical thing, like a waffle cone?
No, I don't think so. I think they are just folded over and cut.
This explains why you can't actually put your finger in there.
They come out pretty flat.
Yeah.
Then they go through a conveyor belt oven, or so I thought. And then if they're going to get flavored, they get tossed in a drum with flavor powder. But then I watched a different blurry video in which it looked like they were getting fried in a kettle. And I was like, what's going on?
Mm.
Then I figured it out because the ones in the first one were going through a continuous frying production line.
What does that mean?
So it's like they go through on a conveyor belt that where they get like drizzled with hot oil.
Okay.
And so it's like they can continuously fry.
Wow.
Instead of having to like go into a kettle and then somehow fish them out.
Is the conveyor belt like porous? So the oil.
I think so.
Just
yes.
Comes out the other side.
Otherwise, it would be like a lot of sluicing and juice.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of picturing it like the way that they make donuts at Krispy Kreme.
Yeah. Or like how they toast sandwiches at Quiznos.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
Yes. All right. So if you want to get a, like start a bugle factory, like I will send you to the video that's going to point you in the right direction.
Okay.
But don't start a bugle factory because there's a new thing in extruded corn snacks, which may or may not be extruded. It's turtle chips.
Okay. Now, I first heard of these from my child, June,
right,
who went to Asian Family Market up on Aurora,
yes,
with our friends, the Burmeisters. June and their friend Elizabeth tried maybe chocolate turtle chips and came home raving about it, but I've still never had them.
Okay. So I think we need to start. So I got five flavors of turtle chips.
Okay. So what are turtle chips? They're not made of turtles.
They're not made of turtles. No. Common misconception. they are so-called because the shape is said to resemble a turtle shell. It does not.
Okay.
But they are made by Orion Confectionery, a South Korean snack brand. And I first noticed them at M2M, but I didn't buy them for a long time just because I'm dumb. And then one day they went on sale and there was a big pile of the seaweed flavor for $3 by the cash register. And I'm like, okay, I will give these a try. And I ate most of the bag on the way home and it is a large bag.
I love this.
And like for me, the seaweed turtle chip is like the definition of a perfectly engineered food product.
Okay,
like,
bring it up. Put it on the table. We're going to taste these first.
Yeah, let's just go seaweed first.
Okay, let's go seaweed first. Oh, there's a really cute turtle
on the
bag. He looks like... Does he have like snorkel goggles on?
He does have snorkel goggles.
Oh, I guess and he has a snorkel.
Yeah, I guess like to swim through hot oil. Okay, first of all, Molly, do these look like turtle shells?
Absolutely not. Oh. Okay. Let me describe this.
Mm-hmm.
Lighter than a bugle, less corn flavor, less salty.
Yep. A little sweet.
A little sweet. And then it's like got this, you know, powder that looks like maybe pulverized seaweed,
mm-hmm,
that gives it a tiny bit of ocean flavor.
Yep. So I kind of thought maybe like turtle chips must be quite different from bugles in terms of production. They're not.
Oh.
So I'm going to do my best to describe this on the show. And it's going to be kind of like when Molly tried to describe a raclette maker. Don't eat too many of these because we have four other flavors to try.
Oh, no. I was having so much fun.
I know. They're so good, right?
Okay.
So if you can picture this, instead of a single layer of corn pappardelle passing through the machine, there are four layers that are like vertically stacked but running through about an inch apart.
I see this.
In parallel. And then they like take a turn downwards and meet up. So they are being cut and pressed together into a four-layer stack that's approximately square. They get like pressed with like striations like a bugle. But so it's like a 4-layer bugle instead of a 2-layer bugle.
I wonder who decided that this was going to be the shape and why they decided that these looked like turtles.
I know, but it's a good name.
Okay, turtle chips. And are these new?
They were introduced in 2017, so yes.
Okay. Now, what's this flavor?
This is sweet corn flavor, which I have not tried before because I always go for like a funky flavor.
Oh, whoa. This is really sweet. This is like kettle corn.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so these are very sweet. These taste kind of like corn pops, not the texture.
I don't love the aftertaste of this. I mean, it's fine. But,
Now, it also kind of implies that these are corn soup flavored.
You know, I get that.
Yeah, so I thought these were going to be more like a plain bugle. They're not. They're very sweet. Not my favorite.
They're not my favorite either, but...
They're not terrible.
Look, the turtle on the bag is crying with happiness.
Yes, and also it says turtle chips news. So what is the latest news from the world of turtle chips?
Hang on. Okay, so yeah, sweet corn flavor, blah, blah, blah. Harmonizes and blends in the flavor of sweet corn. I mean, I don't hate it.
No, I absolutely don't hate it.
Oh, is this a spicy one?
Yeah, so this is Flamin' Lime.
Okay, I'm ready. Have you had these?
Yes.
Okay.
This is wife of the show, Lori's favorite flavor so far. There are a few that I read about but have not found yet, like Flaming Mala, Shrimp, and Mexico Barbecue. I'm sure all those are good.
What is Flaming Mala?
Mala is like the Sichuanese flavor of chili and Sichuan peppercorn, so hot and numbing.
Okay.
Yeah, I like the Flamin' Lime.
I'm really torn. June has recently observed that many of their favorite snacks have this warning on there, the California Proposition 65 warning.
Sure.
This product can expose you to chemicals, including acrylamide, which is known to the state of Washington, the state of California, to cause cancer.
I am skeptical
of this
warning.
How am I supposed to feel about this?
I'm very skeptical of it.
Okay. I think that's quite good.
Yep. All right, so are you ready for dessert? I forgot to mention that the reason I know how they make turtle chips is that I watched a blurry YouTube video.
Oh, this is a theme.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm ready for dessert. I mean, the sweet corn one.
Kind of already dessert.
Kind of already dessert. Okay, these are the ones June raved about. Oh, no, these are churros?
Choco churros.
Oh, whoa, but isn't there just like a plain chocolate?
Not that I've seen.
Okay.
Really good, right?
Whoa. This is so much better than I thought they would be.
Me too.
It's really cocoa-y.
It's really cocoa-y. There's a little bit of cinnamon. Mm-hmm. They're not super sweet. And they kind of taste like a churro.
And there's something about the texture of the dough or the texture of the chip that works really well with this sweet, chocolatey, cinnamony flavor.
Yeah.
Like a bugle that was tasting like this is going to be too crunchy and too...
But what if it was a chocolate caramel? Or was that what I said?
That's
chocolate
what you
caramel?
Mmm. Wow. Okay.
Okay. All right. We've got one more. I haven't tried this one
yet. We have one more. Oh, okay.
And I'm very excited about it, even though we're going off script. So here's what's going on with these.
Okay.
This last one is made with wheat rather than corn. Have you heard of this grain?
Say more.
Okay. So wheat... it derives from a wild grain called triticale.
Ooh, is there a part of it called the chaff?
There is a part called the chaff. That's my favorite part.
Oh, okay.
I love to just chomp some chaff. I'm a total chaff hound.
Oh, yeah. I'm a functional chaffer.
You are a functional
so chaffed today.
I'm chuffed that you're chaffed.
Oh, nice.
These ones that I'm having trouble opening are nutty injolmi flavor. And injolmi is like the Korean equivalent of like a mochi snack. So it's like a chewy snack that's dusted with often soybean powder or some other kind of powder. Did you like the like raw, like animal strength that I used to open that bag?
Yeah.
And so these ones are made with a wheat batter rather than corn and then dusted with kinako, like soybean powder and peanut powder, I think.
Oh my
gosh.
Okay.
I'm pretty excited.
Okay.
Yeah, I like it.
Mm. The peanut flavor is quite subtle,
mm-hmm.
but I do feel like I'm getting that like toasted rice flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
These ones are very sweet.
These are extremely sweet.
But
I mean, that's it's a very good product.
Yeah, as far as a dessert goes, yeah, I'm in.
Okay.
Okay, I have nothing
else to
say.
Where to even begin here?
Oh, are we going to rank these?
I'm just trying to decide which ones I would actually buy.
Are we going to cheese plate? Yeah, that's a good question. So the seaweed is still my favorite.
I think the seaweed is a truly perfect product. Then again, I also think Bugles are pretty great.
The Bugles are much better than I expected.
Yeah. The sweet corn, meh. The flame and lime, I don't love chips with lime flavor.
I don't usually either. For some reason, this one works better for me than most. Like, if there's a new, like, you know, Lay's, like, habanero lime, I'm going to skip it because I don't like that lime powder flavor. Mm-hmm. But here, I don't mind it for some reason.
Okay. And then I think I prefer the chocolate churro over the, I'm sorry, what was the word for these guys?
The Nutty and Jolmy.
Okay, the Nutty and Jolmy flavor. Yeah, I prefer the chocolate churros. Can I have a couple more?
Yes.
Okay. Wow, Matthew.
Which ones are you going to take home? That's the question.
Oh, my God. These chocolate churro ones,
mm-hmm.
off the hook.
Yeah.
Wow. And I'm not somebody who really likes the flavor of chocolate and cinnamon together. Yeah, it's not
usually,
my thing.
Usually me neither. Like when there's like churros that you can like dip in like hot chocolate, usually I'll just like skip the dip.
Oh, I would dip. But I don't really like, you know, like a truffle that's got like cinnamon in it. Or
I'm
I don't actually like that. Mexican hot chocolate. No, yeah. It's not my thing.
So there was one flavor at the store that I did not get, which was the truffle salt flavor, because I've just never liked truffle flavored anything.
Okay.
But
I think I could probably get down on that.
Yeah.
I think I'd do it. Wow, this was delightful.
I feel like, you know, something in my brain has been extruded.
Where can our listeners find turtle chips in the city of Seattle?
I have a feeling they are going to break out and become more available in non-Asian grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, like in Seattle, you can get them at M2M. I'm sure they have them at Awajamaya. Like
Asian Family Market, clearly. That was yes. Where June had them.
So I mean, they're from Korea. Like any store that carries some Korean ingredients and snacks will probably have them.
Okay, delicious.
But these are going to explode, right?
Oh, like, big time.
Once the kids like get their hands into those flame and lime bags,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like kids, don't do drugs. Take your hands out of those dime bags and put them in the flame and lime bags.
Nice one.
Well, yeah.
Okay, Matthew, do we have a segment or two?
We have a couple of segments, yeah.
Okay, what are we calling this one? Is this a junket update?
This one's junket update. We're gonna need a song for this.
And what do we mean by junket? Do we mean press junket?
Let's come up with a song and then people can decide for themselves when they hear the segment.
Okay. Junket, it's wobbly.
Junket. Monopoly. Okay, good song.
It's Junket Update.
With a special guest, Ken Albala, who's not like on the phone or anything, but we're going to read an email from him.
Okay, great. Okay.
Okay, that's probably the best intro to any segment. I'm getting a message. We just won the Academy Award for segment.
Oh, I've always wanted it. Oh, I'd like to thank all of our listeners who've been with us for so long and never gave up hope.
I'm playing you off.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, but anyway, all this to say, this is a one-time segment, so enjoy it while it lasts.
I forgot to thank my parents. Shit.
Okay, here we go.
All right. This we talked about junket on the nutmeg episode. It was like a wobbly dessert.
Is it like a rice pudding or bread pudding or
it's a milk pudding.
It's a milk pudding. Okay.
Ken writes, once again walking to work and I get a shout out. So junket is indeed a milk thickened with rennet and sweetened. It's at the stage when cheese solidifies and becomes wobbly but isn't cut. So the whey is still part of the final smooth texture. You can buy rennet tablets to make junket pudding. Curds and whey is also coagulated with rennet or lactic acid fermentation and is cut so the whey seeps out and you have curds like cottage cheese and thin liquid whey. Little Miss Moffat was the daughter of Thomas Moffat, noted physician who approved of the dish in Health's Improvement.
Is that the name of a book?
It's written as if it's the name of a book.
Okay.
He was also an arachnologist, hence the interest in spiders, so it is said. And then Ken dropped a link to something at University of Michigan. I don't know if what it is.
Is there anything that Ken doesn't know?
Nope.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ken.
Ken also said, next time we have a question for him, drop him an email while we're recording the episode, and he'll probably get back to us before the episode is over.
Wow.
So we absolutely have to test this out.
Okay. Okay. I can't wait. We've got some spilled mail. Today's spilled mail comes from listener Marina. Do you have a go-to toothpaste that you always use, or do you... I feel like I'm reading this like it's an ad. Let me start
out. Do you have a go-to toothpaste that you always use? Well, toss it aside and try...
Okay. Do you have a go-to toothpaste?
I was trying to think of a brand name of toothpaste, and the only thing that popped in my head was Flim Flam. Would you buy a toothpaste called Flim Flam?
I often call our dog Flim Flam. Okay.
Is your dog toothpaste?
No, no. Okay. Do you have a go-to toothpaste that you always use, or do you change it up? My work toothpaste.
That is okay. We've got a bunch of spilled mail lately, and I'm gonna admit I haven't put all of them on the agenda. But when Lisa Marina said work toothpaste, I'm like, this is the only thing I can think about now forever. Okay. What is a work toothpaste?
Okay, wow. This whole sentence is perplexing to me. Get ready, it's just beginning. Okay. My work toothpaste is Hello's minty charcoal flavor.
Okay. I assume Hello is like a brand of like natural products.
Okay. I got a sample size from grove.co a while back and really enjoyed it. It turns your teeth blackish while brushing.
Parentheses.
Fun.
Is that fun?
And the flavor is pleasantly mild. I usually use Weleda's sea salt toothpaste at home, which tastes a bit minty, but not salty. The salt makes my teeth feel like I was just at the dentist. So smooth.
I do love that feeling.
Lately, though, I've been out of the Weleda, and so I've been using my partner Sensodyne. I don't hate the Sensodyne, but it has an artificial flavor profile, and the post-brushing feel is underwhelming. It is good with helping tooth sensitivity, so even when I have my preferred toothpaste, I will use it sometimes. I associate the taste of Colgate with traveling, which should make me feel positive about it, but I hate how strong it tastes, and it makes my mouth feel like I needed to brush my teeth again. Mm-hmm. I've tried Tom's in the past, but find the flavors to be too much with a flat mouth feel while brushing. I have never had... This is a new paragraph, okay?
Yes.
I have never had French bread pizza before. I will have to try some. Oh, thanks for the great listen. Listener Marina, Portland, Oregon.
Okay, this, well, first off,
I love this letter.
This is one of my favorites. Listener Marina, if you do try French bread pizza, I would recommend brushing before and afterwards, but you were going to do that anyway.
No, I'll only brush afterward. Wow. Okay, so I do have
What was the question?
Do you have a go-to toothpaste?
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, I can answer this.
Okay, you go first.
Do you have a work toothpaste?
I don't, but I work at home, except when I'm... here at your house.
Do you have a toothpaste that you only bring to my house?
No.
Okay.
We did
a toothpaste episode many years ago.
Here's my go-to toothpaste. And I think that actually listener Marina, I think is, maybe has a more finely tuned palate for toothpaste flavors than I do.
Or than anyone else does.
Because I have been using for most of my entire life, I have been using Crest brand regular paste tartar protection formula.
Sure. I remember when they introduced this.
It is the one that it's an opaque paste. It's a pale blue. It has a strong minty flavor. It is not a flavor that I associate with mint in the wild. It tastes like mint toothpaste.
You don't think Colgate employs a bunch of foragers?
I don't. It's never occurred to me to look for anything else. I did have a boyfriend for a while, mm-hmm, who used Tom's of Maine, the fennel flavor.
Yes, we've gotten that occasionally.
And it was better than I thought. But I associate a clean mouth with mint.
And I associate fennel with Italian sausage, and that's not necessarily a toothpaste flavor that I want.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, my answer is I use the Sensodyne because I also have sensitive toothies, and it does seem to help, although it could be a placebo effect. Occasionally, wife of the show, Lori, uses Tom's Spearmint, and I will occasionally use that because it's kind of milder than the Sensodyne, and sometimes I just want a little change of pace. Like if I'm like brushing in the afternoon.
Ash uses Sensodyne, and I find the taste of the Sensodyne to be more mild than my Crest.
Yeah, I think
which
that's true.
I don't like. I like a toothpaste with a really strong minty flavor.
Sure.
I feel kind of disgusted when there's not enough flavor. I feel like I'm just like wiping putty on my teeth or something.
Yeah, like you like dipped into the spackle.
That's right.
And for traveling, I always tend to carry like a little travel size tube of toothpaste that I bought at a konbini in Japan. I think I got one on our last trip, and so I refreshed it, and it's Clinica brand. Mm-hmm. And it's just like a, you know, minty toothpaste that doesn't claim to have any special features as far as I know.
I use whatever brand of travel toothpaste the dentist gives me when I have my regular appointment, and I think it's usually like Colgate Clean or something. It's one of those that's got like baking soda, so it's a little gritty. And I don't really care for it, but it's so convenient. And so that's what I always throw in my toiletries.
Oh, yeah. Does your dentist ask you, like, do you want a toothbrush?
And, yes.
And
I always say yes.
Yeah, of course. Because, like, do I look like a guy who doesn't want free stuff?
Well, and also, everybody needs to have, like, a toothbrush around for, like, scrubbing around your bathroom drain or whatever. And who wants to spend money on that?
Nope. Because I want my dentist to provide it, and definitely I'm not paying for it indirectly.
No, definitely not. Wait, hold on.
Yes.
I would like to ask our listeners on our Reddit to let us know how they feel about toothpastes. In particular, I don't think I've ever articulated before that I like a toothpaste that is extremely strongly flavored.
Yeah.
I feel yucky when there's not enough flavor.
I'm going to guess that you articulated this when we did the toothpaste episode, but that was probably 2011.
Okay.
So yeah, head to the Reddit, everythingspilledmilk.reddit.com. I almost just said everything.reddit.com, which is probably a more general discussion site. And do you have a work toothpaste?
Yeah.
I mean, now that listener Marina says it, I feel like a work toothpaste seems like a pretty solid idea.
You know what I also want to know? So, you know, there are like those expensive, like, I don't know, the toothpaste brands that seem really esoteric, like Marvis. It looks like
too rich for my blood. Well, I don't even know what you're talking
about. Well, it looks like it's a tube from like the 1920s. I don't know where you buy this, but a friend who I shall not mention by name. I was once traveling with this friend and they had that toothpaste. And I was like, why would you bother to have this like designer, like apothecary looking toothpaste? Like, what is the point of this? And I would like a listener to let me know if that toothpaste is somehow extra special or if it's just a status symbol toothpaste.
Sounds pretty special.
Matthew.
Yes.
I have a now, but wow.
Wow it up. Molly texted me before the show and said, I've got a now but wow. And as usual for me, it's a real downer. So let's hear about it.
Yeah, great. Okay. So we're recording this episode actually a month before it comes out. Hi, everybody. It's June 1. But here...
June 1. That's how you say it in English.
But June 1st. But we're recording this on May 1st. And on May 8th, in the May 8th issue of The New Yorker, there is a new poem by the poet Danica Kelly. And the poem is called Fishing in the Blood. And what I love about it, the reason that I wanted to mention it today is, well, it's newly out and it feels like a capsule short story in like a very short poem.
Okay.
There is an incredibly strong sense of voice that comes through in it. I mean, I really feel that I'm like listening to a character and I get this like capsule of a whole life and a whole family in this very short poem. And anyway, yeah, Danica Kelly is brilliant, married to the also brilliant Melissa Phoebos. Danica Kelly has a couple of collections out, one called Bestiary and one called Renunciations, I think.
Okay.
Maybe others. That's what I'm thinking of at the moment. If you are someone who reads poetry, go check out Danica Kelly's latest in The New Yorker. It is called Fishing in the Blood.
Yeah. And I bet if you Google that, or we'll link to it in the show notes. If you haven't used up your free articles this month from The New Yorker, you can probably read it for free.
That is right.
Yeah, we stand for like if a poet's got a new poem, just find some way to read it for free. Don't pay a poet.
Don't listen to Matthew. I'm Molly. And listen
our producer.
To me. No, go on.
Is this a new segment? I'm Molly. Listen to me. Our producer is Abby Circatella. Molly's got a wonderful newsletter called I'm Molly, Listen to Me. It's actually called I've Got a Feeling.
Yeah, it's on Substack. You can find it at mollyweisenberg.substack.com.
Please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. My band Early to the Airport, as you know, because I've been telling you for weeks, still has an EP out called Departures, and I think it's fairly good. And so check that out.
Oh, yes.
And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk.
It's like brushing your ears right after eating French bread pizza.
Yes. I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
Is the Zoltar machine for the movie Big a movie where Elizabeth Perkins has sex with a child?
Yes. God, I know. Seriously, I don't know what to do. I mean, I know I'm like the 18th million person who's an adult right now thinking
about this. This is a new movie.
But it's like, okay, so the movies of my childhood, Big Splash. Do you remember Splash?
It's all movies with Tom Hanks having a problematic sexual relationship.
That's right. Okay. Let's have sex with a mermaid. Let's have sex with an adult when we're a child. What other movies were in my childhood? Oh, Spaceballs.
And
what was the one where those Kim three Cattrall movies. Is a mannequin? Oh, it's called Mannequin.
Yes.
What are the like romantic comedies of your childhood?
Oh, geez. I mean, all of those for sure. Like I've seen each of those movies
like
at least five times. Many more. Other romantic comedies. I don't even remember if this is a romantic comedy or I think it was a comedy. Did you ever see the movie Irreconcilable Differences?
No, I don't think so. That sounds really funny.
Oh, Vacation. A romantic comedy, but like a, you know, like a trash, like a raunchy comedy of the 80s.
And we're not talking about like National Lampoon's Vacation.
National Lampoon's Vacation. That's the one.
Okay. What about National Lampoon's European Vacation?
Absolutely. We talked about this on the show.
We have talked about this so much. There is nothing we have
National Lampoon's European Vacation was the one where when I saw it as a kid, I was like, there were boobs in this movie and it's awesome.
That's what I thought
right,
too.
Right. And then I found the scene and went back and watched it. I'm like, no, I'm sorry. This girl is like barely 18. I hate this.
Oh, okay. Whoops. Okay. Well,